Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. You can find our podcasts at www.educause.edu/podcasts or by searching for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. This podcast features an interview with Patricia Steele and Carolyn Walters. Pat Steele, at the time of this interview, was Dean of Indiana University Libraries and has now moved on to become Dean of Libraries at the University of Maryland. Carolyn Walters has since moved from Associate Executive Director to Interim Dean of Libraries at Indiana University. Here's our conversation from the 2009 EDUCAUSE Midwest Regional Conference. Let's talk about IT library collaborations. What are some of the benefits and challenges to having an IT and library collaboration?
I guess the typical answer to that is different cultures and how do you come together. One person came up and asked me, what is the direct benefit to each side? What does the library get out of working with IT and vice versa? And I thought that was a pretty good question, which we talked generally about the way you work together and that you together you work to achieve a new whole that and enhance services and so forth. But actually what it comes down to at the beginning is IT needs, I think, the kind of credibility, trust, access that we have to the faculty and the students and to space that we have. And we really need the power tools that they have, the whole infrastructure that, where there's no way that we could ever reproduce or should reproduce that on a campus.
And we have content, lots of content that supports and enhances the infrastructure. Somebody mentioned IT as utility. And, you know, you think of them as the power company. That, I think, diminishes in some ways what IT does, because it enables us to do all kinds of things and do all kinds of things with content to enhance learning and research. So I think putting the two together in terms of partnerships and alliances makes a lot of sense.
And sometimes I think they can't politically take the lead on some issues because they're not seen as academic enough, attached enough to the academic enterprise. And whether it's true or not, the perception is there. And so I think they have a difficult path to negotiate in terms of where they step into the. And so having a partner like the libraries allows them to play a stronger role on the campus.
Right. They're generally seen as, like caretakers of
yes.
the framework rather
yes.
than actually having a political
mm-hmm.
stance.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting piece to it, too, is as we've changed with technology, we do a lot of the same things or support things that the IT side of the shop supports, too. So do we create a whole separate infrastructure just within the library, or do we take advantage of the services and infrastructure that are on the campus with the IT organization? It would seem to me that it makes a lot of sense for us to do what is uniquely library, which is the content piece of it and providing that access, and then rely on a partner to provide that infrastructure support that we need.
I think that's a really good point. And I think it has been a difficulty for our own library IT people to see that they really have, I don't want to say a more narrow role and focus, but actually a very differently defined one than they probably thought when we first set up library IT. They saw themselves as research and development and trying various tools and pushing us and leading us. And really, we need them to do X, Y, and Z, and they're very important structural aspects, but it's when we step outside of that and start pushing into new service areas and all, the relationship with the larger IT organization makes most sense. So I think Carolyn makes a good point on that.
Well, could we get into some specifics about mm-hmm. what you guys did with? No, this is great. I just want to hear some of your real world experiences and how this was implemented.
We have a whole series of
we
projects.
Do.
In fact, we had a whole slide full just.
If you want to just touch on a couple of the most important for you guys, that'd be great.
I think there are several that are the most important, and I think if I would start with one, it would be the very first one where we partnered with not just our IT folks, but also with the School of Library and Information Science, and that was our digital library program. But we kind of did it blind in terms of partnerships, and I think that was mm-hmm. one of the things that we talked about in our presentation was that there needs to be an underpinning to these partnerships and a structure to them. And we didn't have that. We just shook hands and had a partnership. And so down the road, then, we have positions that aren't clearly in one place. So, for example, UITS, our computing folks, may pay for a position, but it's located in the library, and the library staff supervise that position. And conversely, we may pay for some positions that are in UITS that are supervised by their staff, and we don't have any of this written down. And like most organizations, people come and go. So here we are, not the original people that did the deal.
Does it make things a little messy?
Well, it does in terms of we don't have anything written down, too, in terms of how much everybody brings to the table. We have a history of what people have done. Mm-hmm. But in a budget climate like this, we
don't
have anything.
Suspicions can arise.
We don't have anything that says UITS must do this and the libraries must do that. Right. So as we've developed other partnerships, for example, the Information Commons, we started to codify some of this in a way. So we have a memorandum of understanding that spells out what UITS brought to the table when we created the Information Commons and what the library brought to the table. And we set up a governance structure. And that document has evolved. We had a higher level governance structure, but found that as we've moved on, it's the day-to-day people that are on the ground that need some kind of structure, that they've formed an operations group as opposed to a management kind of level group. And so as we've done more of these partnerships and become more familiar with the pitfalls and the advantages of them, we've tried to write down in a memorandum of understanding how we're going to go forward.
And the Information Commons experiment is a really good exemplar, I think, of how a partnership starts out, gets more regularized, and then can change. It actually started years ago when we gave formal space in the library to UITS for first a single computer cluster. Overnight, it was the busiest computer cluster on campus, so they woke up to the fact that, oh my, you know, this is a very nice central place to provide services, easily supported, so we gave them more space, and I think we ended up with three before we actually established the formal Information Commons. So we were able to take something that existed and move it into a more formal, and the minute I'd say that the real Information Commons opened on the first floor, there was an immediate push for new layers and new kinds of services because it was so successful. It was the place to be. And we were able to have the kind of, within the governance structure and just the relationships would be formed, the ability to quickly move to the next, literally the next floor, develop it a little differently, to the next floor, and just in a matter of years to take a whole tower and turn it into an Information Commons. Wow. When we had started with one floor.
Can you put a little flesh on what an Information Commons is for you guys? Because mm-hmm. that can mean a lot of different things.
Yes.
What's library-centric about a Learning Commons? How is it specifically a library space?
Part of it is the instruction that goes on in there, the reference support that goes on in there, the combined approach that we're taking with the collections that are in there while limited, the virtualization, I think, of more of the services and all, the expectation that that group of staff that are devoted to the Information Commons are really taking our emerging technology look, are really pushing the envelope for where we need to be next with our students. So Carolyn is the one that really developed it, so I'm sure she...
Well, no, I think that's exactly right, and I think that's a question that comes up often. With 368 workstations over two floors, it is a question that's asked, and it's our UITS partners that staff it overnight, too. We have staff, the libraries provide staff between 8 in the morning and midnight, and then we also now, we've expanded to provide staff at our circulation point when you come into the tower, so that all of the services in that building are available overnight now. So it is, as Pat said, it's the instruction, it's the emerging technologies, it's the awareness of both sides of the partnership of what the other does. And together, I think we offer more to a student that walks up to a desk.
And, you know, just to kind of take it beyond an Information Commons, it really points to some real, very serious conversations we have to have about branch libraries. How do we define a branch library today? Because they're being used very differently than when they were established. And so it really begs the definition of a library in the kind of the way your question anticipated. Is it a library any longer? Is it just a computer cluster or whatever? And it's going to be harder to come up with that real definition. Maybe there isn't even just one, four spaces that are being
It is.
And there's a case where the space side, the community side, is still being used, and yet we're supporting with our staffing and all a very different model. And finding that balance is going to be an interesting exercise, I think, over the next couple of years.
Is it kind of a bumpy ride for staff? I mean, is it when I was talking to Teresa Bird yesterday about this. Her big takeaway, and I think it's a great, simple piece of advice, is try to make it so there's no losers. Mm-hmm. So do you guys want to comment on that at all?
I think we kind of turn that and say try to make everybody a winner.
Oh.
So it's a win-win for whoever you bring to the table as a partner. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key component, so that there is something for everybody to take away that's a very big positive. Now, sometimes the positives aren't quite as big as they are for other projects, but there is a positive takeaway.
And the other side of staff is, I mean, as we're looking at how we are organized, to go into the development of a research commons, which is, we hope, imminent. Are we really organized to have people take on different kinds of roles, particularly the librarians? In our discussions, what's become very clear is kind of that linear report and expectation is gone. And we're going to have to expect people to be playing important roles in the teaching side of it, in the collection side of it, in the outreach, and moving into scholarly communication issues. And so we played around, well, who's in charge of all these? Well, there can't be one person. There's got to be a flexibility of moving and expecting that you're going to have numerous assignments that are pretty substantial. And then that gets to what kind of people do you bring into your organization over the future? And it really is the people that can make those partnerships, that can establish relationships, and then follow through on them. And if we have people that are not right now relationship-oriented, then the win in that situation is finding where they can contribute best. And it may not be in the frontline strategic direction that you're taking. And I think that's the balance. So somebody, you don't make people feel that they aren't contributing because they're, for instance, contributing to a technology or service that isn't going to get a lot of strategic investment, but it's kind of our underlying circulation or interlibrary loan. Important, changing in some ways, but not going to be the frontline strategic investment on the library's
That's
part.
That's fascinating. Students, go get a degree in instructional technology and library sciences. That'd be the thing to do.
And computer science and, you know.
Well, and the interesting thing is the reduction in the, and it's a significant reduction in the amount of time we're spending collecting. Mm-hmm. Because things have been automated so much with approval plans, and you can fairly narrowly define out of what's being published what in your area you want to get, and it automatically comes as those things are published. So it takes much less time, where before we were picking title by title by title as things come out and reading reviews. We don't do that anymore, so it frees up time.
Last question is, basically, do you have anything to add from your session? Any takeaways or any insights that maybe we haven't touched on?
I think the bottom line on all these really goes back to one of the, it'll be on the website, I think, related to our partnership discussion, and that is the article by Rosabeth Moss Cantor about alliances, partnerships, whatever. I mean, she really lays out kind of the assessment tools for and guidebook to partnerships. And at the very end of the day, it comes down to relationships. And to me, the most important thing within libraries is how we make sure that we have the people that can forge relationships and move things forward. And we all don't have those skills, but it has to be something that's valued, that people want to try to achieve if it doesn't come naturally. I can't speak enough about attitude and ability to relate one-on-one to whether it's your professor that you're serving because you're a subject specialist in that area, or you're providing a reference, or you're in the digital library program, or whatever.
I want to thank you guys, Pat Steele and Carolyn Walters from Indiana University. Thanks so much for your
thank
time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's fun.
Yeah.
An interview with Patricia Steele and Carolyn Walters. It was recorded at the 2009 EDUCAUSE Midwest Regional Conference. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.